you have to know that the Goyin is very, very, he like I said, he's saying the MS, he's saying the Nekuda. And it's not always so our style, it's not always so simple to hear it. So I was, someone complained to me that I was a little too power of last night. I was saying about the Goyin, about how it's impossible to develop any cheshek for Torah unless you distance yourself from Taivas, from Olam Hazeh, and these types of things. It's impossible. You can't have both. You can't have Taivas Olam Hazeh and Torah, basically. It's impossible. And even if it's all good and kosher, it doesn't work. Now, by the way, according to the Rabbeinu Bachaya, this was the main difference between Esav and Yaakov. It says Yaakov ish sadeh, Yaakov ish tam yoshev ha'alem, ish tam, and Esav yudea tzayid ish sadeh. That's all we're told about them. And then Esav, so what's the verb? Because yudea tzayid, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, yudea tzayid means he knew how to prepare his food just right. Perfect. He needed this type of flavor and this meat and this. He was into it. It wasn't just like, okay, sit down for supper. He was getting all into it. And Yaakov ish tam, whatever, you know, he wasn't into it. And that was the midah that, from there, separated them. How much was he distracted and involved in Olam Hazeh? He was ish sadeh. He liked ish sadeh means what's wrong? He liked having a good time. He lived to have a good time. So now, in Perek Beis, his test is where he says this that really strongly that you cannot have Olam Hazeh if you're gonna be a Baal Taiva, if you're gonna run after things in this world. Okay. Now, in Yud Aleph, he says like this. Lamaisa, so the Yetzer Hara knows that what's the best way to get you out of learning? Well, obviously the best way is to tell you to not learn, right? But he knows that you're not going to listen. So Zok the Goyin, incredible thing here. Derech ha-Yetzer Hara lo hasis batchila lilmoy. No, keep learning. V'gam lamalis tavosai. Learn whatever you want, but enjoy your 74-ounce steak, you know, whatever. Go all in. And you had a good first Seder. What's the problem? You know, now enjoy yourself. So gam lemalis tavose. So enjoy everything. Kim yasiso shalom klal. He's going to tell you not to learn. Liyishmaloi. Who's going to listen to the Yitzhara not to learn? So the Yitzhara knows. He's not going to try to get you not to learn. He's going to try to but once he convinces you to get all involved in your taivus olam hazeh, oz memelo lo yilmad. Memelo, you're not going to learn. Ki torud tomid lemalois hanas agof. Because your whole tirad is going to be how to get more and more and fill more and more of the taivus that you developed for yourself. In other words, this is all you're imagined and created for yourself, your need, and now you have to fill it. So that's the derech of the Yetzara. The Yetzara oimer loy, shiyazik labrios, ki shiyazik vergeva. Not only that, now that you're accustomed yourself to these types of food, oh, come on, now you're going to go back to peanut butter and jelly? Saying, it's not healthy. You need the protein. You know, let's go. You got to fill up. The achakach, now you're so convinced you need it. Misatza lildef acharatera. They don't even care about Torah. Then even if you can get both, you're not going to get both. And then you're not even going to bother. Eventually, you're not going to care about Torah at all. This is the derech of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is learn, do everything good, just, you know, enjoy.
I assume.
Huh?
That's what I assume.
Exactly. Right? So, and the Vilna Goyin says, that this is the tefillah we see at the end of the Vidu. It says, Ta'inu, Titanu, the last two tufts in the Vidu. Ta'inu, we made a mistake. Titanu, you let us make a mistake. It's a little repetitive. Sarnu, we mitzvah mishpatecha ta'inu, which is Ta'inu, we left. So what is he adding? The loy shavalon. So the Goyin Taich is like this. Ta'inu, we made a mistake. You know what our mistake was? Our mistake was when we thought we could have both. We thought we could have Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. We thought we could enjoy everything. And it won't Titanu. Then, because of that, you let us go. Ta'inu is our mistake, but Titanu happens Mamela. Once you're into it, it happens Mamela. And then, he says, that's the second Darga of, you know, then Then it became a conflict, so we had to leave completely. And then Loy Shavalon, I always thought it meant Loy Shavalon, the leaving was not worth it for us. He says, no, it became a point that the Torah is not Shavit to me anything because I'm so distracted by my running after Lamazet. So it's pretty, you know, this is from the Goyin. I was one time with a Goyin, a Rav Shmuel Aryeh Levine. Shmuel Aryeh Levine is a Rosh Yeshiva in Buenos Aires. It's very stark, very Talmud Rav Shach, very stark a man, you know? Yeah. Very stark. Big Kanai. So it was one of the Tekufos. It was about, I don't know, 10 years ago, I don't know, 8 years. It was one of the Tekufos, one of the few Tekufos that was actually going well in Argentina. Like financially, they had money. It was that time. Even at that time, like when Nassim Tzvi Finkel went there to raise money for the yeshiva, it was like one of those tkufas, it was good. So I said, Rosh Yeshiva, was macht the yeshivas? Was machten the yeshivas? How are the yeshivas doing in Buenos Aires? So he said, se shver the geld. It's very difficult, the money. Like the money situation is very difficult. I said, I thought it's doing good. He says, das meinich, zu viel. He said, that's what I mean, it's too much. It was better when we had to struggle for the money. Everyone knew that their simcha really came from Torah. Everyone knew that this is what they got simcha in. They weren't distracted from all this other stuff. But now, das meinich, zu viel. It was unbelievable. Well, yeah. So that, I'm not comparing to what's going on today, but Maisa, this is a challenge. This is what the Goyin is saying, is the derech of the Yetzer Hara, unbelievable. Then he goes on further to knock it home even further. He says, "Kol ha'anois she'ha'adam nene bo'ilam hazeh." And by the way, this is a big challenge because we don't see anything wrong with it. Well, you need your outlet, like it's kosher. What's the problem? You know, like I'm not doing anything wrong. So look at the world out there. They're Isaac and everything, and so many bad things. Okay, you know, and maybe it's true. It's not as bad as some other things, but it's not lechatchila. So he says like this: "Kol ha'anois she'ha'adam nene bo'ilam hazeh." Any hana that person takes in this world, once he's buried, is going to end up turning sour on him. The krumen, I told you, talked a lot about death in the sefer. The krumen hamisavim ne'enoshim b'chibut hakever. Okay, now v'sham nidoin kol aver shenene ba'olam hazeh sheloi b'mitzvah. So the surfim oisei keres, the gamma tzadikim nenashim b'chibut hakever. Chibut hakever, I don't know what it means exactly, but basically what chibut hakever is the pain of the guf when the neshama leaves and it's buried, that the pain of being separated, the guf from the neshama, and that the pain of the guf is the chibut hakever. The Goyin says in another place that every time a worm bites, whatever, eats a little bit of the basar inside the kever, the neshama and shemayim feels the pain. That's what Goyin says. So one place he says, the more, on a simple level, the more taiva you have, the more you're going to have pain, even olam haba. Why? Because then there's more meat for the other worms. Simple. The more a person, you know, so, big tzaddikim that there's their, you know, skin and bones. So, you know, there's not much for the worms to eat. So the more that the guy is going down as a, you know, a heavy, meal for the stuff down there in the ground, so the more his neshama will have tzar. That's what he says in one place. But here he's saying something else. He's saying this chibud hakever is the pain of the guf separate from the neshama. Now, the word is like this. Basically, he said when the neshama and the guf are in perfect harmony, and the guf only takes whatever the neshama needs, so the guf doesn't really live on its own. So the guf is really kind of invisible. It never had its own needs. So the person never addressed the needs of the guf. So the neshama leaves, and the neshama was really the focus anyway the whole time. So the neshama is happy. The guf, it doesn't have a need to do anymore because the whole point of the guf was for the neshama, and the guf is happy, and the neshama is happy. But if it's the opposite, then the neshama was there, that was being ignored, and the guf was being fulfilled all of its taivas all the time. So now the guf is like, hey, what's going on? You know, pay up. So that's the chibut hakever. It's trying to get out. the chibut hakever is that the guf doesn't want to be here without fulfilling its taivus. So the more a person's ma'asik in the taivus, the more the chibut hakever is. Rav Shach one time said that he was learning and he had a very hard rashba. He was learning and the lights went out in the middle of the night. So he's like trying to take the Rashba. He's trying to get out of his room to read the Rashba and understand it. He couldn't read the Rashba. He's trying to get out. So he said, "Farmir does his chibut hakever. Does his chibut hakever that he can't leave the room to get better pshat in the Rashba because he's stuck here in the dark." That's the chibut hakever, right? That the body is trying to get out to fulfill more because it was used to being fulfilled its whole life and now it gets stuck there. So the pain of being stuck in the kever is the chibut hakever. By tzaddikim, there's no chibut hakever because the goof wasn't in that mindset any time. Aval, that's what he says here. Aval tzaddikim amiskaven ba'ana'asu l'shem shamayim. But a tzaddik whose whole hana'ah in olam hazeh was l'shem shamayim anyway. Adrabo. So now what happens? The gashmias is nechshav lo ya'ana'ah l'mitzvah. The gashmias is a mitzvah. V'achilas is a karban. He's eating as a carbon, like Mesil Sharm says, the Ava is Hein Hein Amarkava, right? So, and we saw in Rukhan Velozhner how he says that the Achilas HaKarbon, just like in the Mun, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mun, they didn't have to go to the bathroom. Why? Because the bathroom, the system of the Guf is that whatever is not necessary comes out. So if the entire eating was only for Ruchni, there's no excess because it was always there for Ruchni. It was only, so the Rav Chaim Volozhiner says eating of karban was the same as the mon. That, and that's why he's going on the Mishnah that it says that if people sat on the table without eating, learning Torah, it's ki'ilu achlu zivchei mesim shenemar, kol oichle tzoya, whatever. That Zivchei Mesim is called Tzoya. So he said, that's the pshat, because if you're eating on a table and you're not eating L'shem Shemayim for with Torah, so that's just eating Mali Tzoya. If he's eating L'shem Shemayim, so now for carrot, then the whole eating is a mitzvah. And this is the goin. So in case it wasn't stark enough yesterday, so I think we make up for it today, you know.
So Rabbi, Gashmiut and Ruchani, they don't mix, you're saying?
No.
You can't have the best of both.
No. Even Rebbe, by the way, last week in Parshas told us, it talks about Rebbe Vantaninas. So it says Rebbe had on his table, Loi Poska Mishulchanai, any time of the year, he had all the fruits from the whole world on his table every day of the year. So the Maral, the Gorari, says, that's only true. You cannot read that Gemara by itself. You have to read it together with a different Gemara. Maran Gorayi says you can only read that together with the different Gemara. The Rebbe at the end of his life picked up his 10 fingers and says he was never nenim oilam azeh with these 10 fingers. It was on his table. He was a choshev person for the chashivas of it. He put it on the table, but he himself, he was never nenim oilam azeh. That's what Maral says. Pshat in that Gemara. So you know, I always, to be honest with you, I never really understood this concept. When you read this stuff, you start understanding the concept, and that's where you start understanding certain gedolim. Not all the gedolim were like that. Some gedolim pshat is you offer them some food, some this, some fancy, like leave me alone, I'm not interested. But by some gedolim was more than that. It was like an avoida to like fight again, not like avoida to be poyer shmoel mazeh, like a Baron Leibstein. Like by him, oyel mazeh was like an enemy. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. Like he mamish ran away from, a guy told me, he said that he came from his yeshiva. It was Shemitah, actually, last Shemitah cycle. He came from the yeshiva and they had to ask Rabban Leib a shayla, that they couldn't get tomatoes for the yeshiva. I'll be the best hechsher in the Shemitah. So they wanted to know, could they get a lenient, could they go with a kula to buy tomatoes for the yeshiva? So the guy told me, he said, Rabban Leib didn't want to embarrass us. So he looked down and he said, he looked down like this and he was looking at his tzitzis. And he says, "Kfar 50 shana ani lo ochel agvaniya." I think they'll survive 2 weeks. I haven't eaten a tomato in 50 years. I think they'll last 2 weeks without a tomato. by him, it was a whole thing. The more you put yourself in Olam Hazeh, the more, I'm saying not every, that was his mahalach. I'm not saying everyone that was the mahalach. I think the more common mahalach was like, they were so uninterested, like it's so not like a big deal. Like they're just so interested in Torah than like anything else, you know. It's not going to make Torah as makom, you know. But anyway.
What's the excuse? A lot of people says like, okay, it's a siyum, it's not a mitzvah.
He says that. I'm iskaven b'hana also l'shem shemayim.
But l'shem shemayim, it's really, okay, now an excuse to, I give ma'aser 90% of ma'aser or whatever, so now I can do whatever I want with the rest of the time. That's most.
I told you this ma'aser. I told you Thursday night, we're allowed to go a few minutes later with the story sometimes. So there was Rabbi Shapiro told me a ma'aser with his father, Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro from Miami Beach. So there was a guy who in the lifetime of his father, in like the 80s, or late 70s even, had made a bar mitzvah for his son, and the bar mitzvah cost him $300,000 back in those days. It's a lot of money. So he said, I'm going to send $300,000 cash to Eretz Yisrael to give out tzedakah. Wow. Unbelievable. He sent it with a guy, a suitcase. The kits are mice and the suitcase got lost. The cash got lost or stolen or whatever. Didn't make it. So the guy, so the guy comes to Rabbi Shapiro and is like, oh, like, you know, what should I do? I tried to give it a sucker. Should I have to give it again? Not give it again. My nether, not my nether. So he says, Rabbi Shapiro, so his father says, don't you get the message? He says, Hashem says, you can't buy me off. Don't buy me off. You think that you can do whatever you want. I'll spend, you know, that type of money on this permit, extravagant permit, but I'm doing tzedakah. That's fine. You know, Hashem's telling you the message, I don't want that type of tzedakah. You can't buy me off that easily. It's not that simple. That was the story. So that's what you're saying. You can't always kasher everything up just because it's a mitzvah, or it's this or that. You're right. Or if it's conference. Anyway, okay. Cult of everybody. Enjoy Shabbos. Shabbos oynig. Oynig Shabbos. Kol me'anik Shabbos karoy.
Asa v'yayin. Enjoy, guys. Enjoy.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi. Great cheer.
And, you know, well, oynig Shabbos is okay. It's on the house.